Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Hold on a second.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon. There you are. Owen Sweeney is here. God, a live human being in the studio. Fantastic. Anyway, where was I? Yes. That was Soul Jacker Part 1, that is. And that's from Eels opening up the programme. 51552 is our text. Dave Fanning with you till 3. And it's 1 till 3 every Saturday and Sunday. And coming up, we've got an interview with the Limerick musician Post Punk Podge. I'm going to be finding out what it's like to be a food stylist for films and TV shows. And as public payphones are becoming a thing of the past, I'll be talking to the guy who's saving, restoring our phone boxes. But now it's Owen Sweeney sniggering in the background. And in fact, this is a good snigger, because what are you here for? This is a bit of a surprise to me even. Tell me about it.
Well, I've just re-emerged all clad in dust with a virtual armful of quarter-inch reels under my, arm.
And are we delving into the past?
We are delving into the archives. Fantastic. Into the virtual archives, in a practical sense. You know, looking at radio ads, but radio ads specifically for albums, way back when.
Radio ads for albums.
Albums.
Like Larry saying, you have to buy Fields of the Nephilim's latest album, having done Dumpy's Rusty Nuts the week before. And I believe you, Larry.
Next week it's Ned's Atomic Dustbin. Yeah, I love it. Exactly that, except these are way back when. This would be Larry kind of saying, you have to hear Heir Apparent, or you have to hear Doctor Strangely Strange.
They're Irish then.
They'd be slightly trippy. No, these are all kind of, these are all American now.
Oh, okay.
So these are all bar one are American, but not the artists, but the ads. So these are all kind of done for American radio stations. They're all of the time. It's the late 60s and then all the way through to the 70s. And if we last long enough, one from the 80s, that's just for me. But let's go to the turn of the century, or the turn of the decade, 1979. Well, we start with the Ramones, and we start with Joey Ramone.
An ad for the Ramones,
and this is
for
the
a specific album.
For the specific album. This will give you the best taste, or rather me waffling on, of what we're going to do.
All right, here's the first one, the Ramones.
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones.
Hi, everybody. Your pal Joey Ramone here. Well, this is the one you've all been waiting for. Our great new Ramones album, End of the Century, produced by Phil Spector. Hey, do you remember that great Phil Spector song, Baby, I Love You?
I hadn't heard it, Dave, at that stage.
End of the Century, a new Ramones album produced by Phil Spector on Fire Records, marketed by Warner Brothers.
Okay, hold on a second. There's a couple of weird things in that. First of all, it's quite long. That's a radio ad for the thing, and they have "Baby, I Love You" in the middle of it, which isn't anything to do with. It's Phil Spector, of course, but.
Well, that's the Ramones singing "Baby, I Love You," which was on.
Oh,
that
I thought
album.
It was. Oh, right, now I'm getting it.
Now you're getting it, Dave.
Okay,
you see, this is why we play these things at the start.
I'm like, I couldn't hear one word Joey was saying.
Well, you should listen to it again then.
No, but like it's just the noise of the music, which is great. That's so bizarre.
That's Sire Records, 1979, end of the century. There are a few other ones out there for. With two albums before Rocket to Russia. So Joey was the spokesperson for the band.
Yeah, End of the Century was a good album, but it wasn't as good as the previous five or six.
No, Rocket to Russia is my favourite. But anyway, no one needs to know that. But that was the foregrounding Phil Spector as well. What's interesting about these ads as well is that he's going, do you remember, do you remember Rock and Roll Radio? So that was kind of the tagline. The copyright was seized on that. But he said, do you remember that great Phil Spector song, Baby, I Love You? Which, of course, was their biggest hit. But it wasn't their biggest hit at that stage because the album hadn't come out yet.
Did that become the biggest single hit of the Ramones?
Biggest Ramones. Yeah. And remember, famously around that time, Joey Ramone apparently met Bruce Springsteen on a boardwalk. Where else are you going to meet Bruce Springsteen? And said, will you write us a hit?
As he shut the screen door slammed.
Very good. And Springsteen went, okay, I'll write them a song. And he went and he wrote a song and he played it to his then manager, well, his current manager, John Landau. And John Landau said, that's great, yeah, that'll be a hit. And he goes, brilliant, I'm giving it to the Ramones. He goes, no, you're not. And it was Hungry Heart, which, of course, his biggest hit at the time as well. So there you go. That's the story anyway. Will we go back to, from 1979, will we go all the way back to 1969? Now, this day, we may even play this one twice. It's up to you. This is a bit bizarre. This is Pink Floyd. And, how bizarre was the album Umma Gumma?
Oh, an ad for an ad there was for an ad on the radio.
Do you know what's great about this? The Pink Floyd massive box set that came out last year, the year before, the early years, was very exhaustive. It took all the film clips, all the audio, all the even lo-fi tapes, including films and all that sort of crack, put them in a huge, very expensive box set. And one of the gems on the DVD-only version of the DVD-only disc or whatever was this particular ad, which is very short, from 1969, for Umma Gumma.
OK, just before I do play it, though, don't use the music of several species of small furry animals gathered together in a cave and grooving with a pict.
I'm so glad you said that because I can never say it.
Which is on that album.
It is.
Okay, here goes.
This is the song before it, I think. This is the ad.
Pink Floyd doesn't mean it's not a nice band.
Wait. No, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to start again. Okay, I'm starting that again because I had no idea of this. So he
hasn't heard these before.
So he swats a fly or a bee or something.
You know the way Roger Waters did all the sound effects in there?
Yeah, did you ever hear Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast?
One of my favourite things. Right, here. Different album, of course.
Here goes, yeah, that was Adam Hart Mother. Here goes, anyway.
This went out on the radio.
Pink Floyd doesn't mean it's not a nice band.
There's no mention of Umma Gumma anywhere, is there?
There's no mention of Umma Gumma. There's no mention of anything other than they were obsessed with sound effects. And it's in Grantchester Meadows.
Oh, Grantchester Meadows. Loop, beautiful.
The loop of the birds singing or whatever. Yeah. And that's kind of Roger Waters and on several species of furry...
Small furry animals gathered together in a cave and grooving with a pig.
That's the song after. Yeah, there's all sorts of sound effects there.
So this is great. This is old ads for... I never even knew there were ads for these kind of things. For on radios for music. Okay.
Exactly. Let's stick with 1969. Let's go to America. And Neil Young, this is a time. What I love about these ads... It's like
69.
When,
everybody knows there's nowhere now?
Exactly. That's sure. Play it then.
Okay, hold on. Oh, yeah.
The voiceover in this is brilliant. There you go.
You're listening to Neil Young, ex-member of the Buffalo Springfield, singing about the Cinnamon Girl, a cut from his new Reprise album. The album is called Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere.
It gets better.
You're somewhere if you dig Neil Young, because he's somewhere. He's what's happening. Neil Young on Reprise Records.
Fantastic.
You're somewhere if you dig Neil Young.
Because he's somewhere.
He's what's happening,
oh,
man.
For God's
Isn't it
sake,
brilliant?
That's fantastic.
I'm not long after watching the great double documentary of Laurel Canyon. So it's kind of interesting to see. Like when you're looking at an old newspaper and you watch, you see the story you want, but then you read the other stories around it. What's great about that is it goes, Neil Young, he used to be in the Buffalo Springfield. As if anybody now, discovering Neil Young, knows the Buffalo Springfield. Right. Do you know, or certainly knows them before they know Neil Young, which is brilliant. We'll move forward then slightly to Black Sabbath, if you have it there, 1970. What's great about this?
Black Sabbath, that's the first album. There was an ad on the radio for the first Black Sabbath album.
I have ads for the first four, Dave.
Really? Oh my God.
What's brilliant about this is it's metal before metal was a thing. So the word metal isn't mentioned because metal didn't exist. It sounds kind of like a blues band. You know, there's harmonicas there. If this is the first album, there's no actual lyrics in it, which contrasts with the second album, which then is Paranoid and all that kind of, you know, you got lots of Ozzy. So it's Ozzy before Ozzy was even Ozzy. Do you know what I mean? It's brilliant. It's just a time capsule.
It's an ad for the first Black Sabbath album on the radio called Black Sabbath.
Yes.
We bought that album. We and my friends, we used to go into town, get one a week, whatever. And the only reason my friend bought it was because the cover. It just looks so cool.
It is brilliant.
There's a woman in a graveyard or something.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, here goes.
Like a medieval painting.
Black Sabbath, an ad.
Times are usually tough in Aston, the funky section of tough Birmingham, England.
Birmingham.
The music of the Aston group Black Sabbath reflects their harsh environment.
It sounds like a blues band.
Warner Brothers, aware as always, offers you a music as gentle as an open wound. with Black Sabbath. And knowing you, I think you all identify marvelously with this group on Warner Brothers Records and tape. Black Sabbath.
I mean, when I think of it, it's like more pigs and fairies wear boots and everything. I'm like, you identify marvelously.
Music as gentle as an open wound. That's probably my favourite. You might have copyrighted.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said in the middle of it. And I love that they're from Aston.
Yeah, from Aston. A funky part of Birmingham.
Birmingham. Yeah, it's not from Birmingham. As if that means someone to someone in Des Moines, Iowa.
Well, but apparently Alabama. It does. Okay, that's fantastic. That's Black Sabbath debut album. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Do you have another one.
Yeah, Paranoid.
This is the contrast. This is a year later. Have a listen.
Okay.
There's a group that has the number one album in England and the number one single. They've just exploded on the continent, and they're here now in the States for their first U.S. tour. The group is Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath comes from rough, unfashionable Aston in Birmingham, England. They play music as tough as the town in which they grew up. And it's all in their first album, released here by Warner Brothers. Black Sabbath, number one in England, top ten on the continent, and now making music history in the U.S. Black Sabbath, a group and an album on Warner Brothers Records and Tapes.
Brilliant, doesn't it?
That's great.
The album was Paranoid, he doesn't mention it. But anyway, there you go. I love, again, rough, unfashionable Aston. The mythology that you kind of look at now when they look at documentation, they write about these bands is, you know, Black Sabbath reflected, you know, the industrial landscape of England and particularly the West Midlands and all that.
Yeah.
But that was there right from the start.
Yeah.
That was the press release, basically,
amazing,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they're, you know, anyway. When we move on, let's move on to 79 and 1980. Another pair that are quite interesting if you have them there. Talking Heads. This first one, you may as well just start with
Talking Heads. This
is
first
for
one.
Fear of Music. Fear of Music
could be it could be their best album.
Is it their best ad, though? That's what I want to know.
Why? What's the ad?
Just have a listen.
Okay.
Right, it's David Byrne.
It's David Byrne himself.
It's David Byrne himself.
This will be an art installation. Here it goes.
Talking Heads have a new album. It's called Fear of Music.
You ready?
Talking Heads have a new album. It's called Fear of Music.
Sorry, David?
Talking Heads have a new album. It's called Fear of Music. Talking Heads have a new album. It's called Fear of Music.
And by the way,
you weren't wrong when you said an art installation.
Yeah, and that piece of music isn't on the album anywhere, is it?
I don't think it is at all.
No, it's just an incidental piece. That's David Byrne advertising Fear of Music. I love it.
Do you have Remaining Light in front of you?
Yeah.
By any chance?
Yeah. That's
okay. Well, if it worked once, Dave, why not do it again? In fact, this is kind of brilliant.
Really?
This is the next album. Yeah. Okay, this is the whole band getting together. Or Brian Eno showing his hand, but it's a similar motif.
Okay.
This is for Remaining Light.
Have a new album. It's called Remain in Light. Talking.
So, David Byrne, in fact, their best track is on that album, Listening Wind. But
that's your favourite Talking Heads track?
Yes, it would be. But the best album is Fear of Music. That's incredible stuff. Always,
and it's such a leap as well between 1979 and 1980 in the sound there as well, isn't there? And you can see where the Tom Tom Club kind of spawned themselves out of that as well. So there's a lot of experimentation.
By the way, we're talking to Owen Sweeney, but like ads for music bands from years ago on the radio kind of stuff. That was very well explained.
Thanks.
Okay, 51552. Keep going.
How about a bit of Diana Ross, 1970? Let's have a little bit of Ms. Diana Ross. This is her second solo album, her second album.
It's for her album.
Oh, these are all specifically for records.
Post-Supremes, obviously.
Everything is Everything. Yeah. Her first self-titled album was earlier in 1970. Okay. This is her second one, so she kind of established it. What's interesting, again, it's Post-Supremes. It hits it exactly on the head because I didn't count them, but they do say Diana Ross. They emphasise her soloness quite a lot in this.
All right, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful soul and sound of Diana Ross, alone in love, close to you. Diana Ross, alive and glad to be. Diana Ross's brand new album on Motown, Everything is Everything. Diana Ross is everything. Brand new and waiting for you. Diana Ross put it together and keeps it together. Diana Ross.
I think it's Diana Ross.
Together forever.
Who? Diana Ross? Album, it's definitely Diana Ross. Fantastic.
Oh, it's brilliant. Okay, let's go to 1967 then, and another person going solo. I suppose she'd been most well known and musically for hanging out with Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground at that stage, but same year.
Oh, Nico.
Yeah, Nico. And I was surprised to find this one. This is Chelsea Girl, so I think we should just take it all
in.
Oh,
her album, Chelsea Girl.
Yes,
right, okay.
This is quite...
they did an ad for Nico's album, Chelsea Girl, and put it on the radio.
I don't want to give it away, so I think we should just listen to it. It's quite funny.
Nico is beautiful. And in a world where so much can be so easily possessed on a whim or for a promise, she's unpossessable. At Verve, we feel lucky we've isolated her long enough to record an album. Here's the fairest of the seasons.
Now that it's time, now that the hour hand is landed at the end, now that it's real, now that the dreams have given all they had to lend.
The album's called Nico, Chelsea Girl, a precious girl from any dimension. And at Verve, we love her. So only one record to a customer, we don't want to spoil Nico. We like her just the way she is.
Well, I'll be leaving in the fairest of the seasons.
Wow.
Isn't that, that's 1967 writ large. They don't want to spoil Nico. Only one record per customer. That'll account for sales.
That's
so
bizarre. Yeah, poor old Nico met a sad end.
In Ibiza.
She fell off her bike,
yeah. And of course, someone famous for being kind of an icy Germanic personality.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to spoil her.
Yeah, but like that Velvet Underground album is fantastic. Okay, so that's brilliant. Okay.
Yeah. Lou Reed and John Cale were heavily involved in that record, weren't they? Yeah. Right, let's go a year earlier. Why not? The 60s just seems to be a gold mine for these sort of things. And this is, this is a bit of a double up, but it's the Mothers of Invention.
Oh, yeah, Frank.
Frank Zappa. And this is very... Oh, it's just bizarre. He's talking about addressing directly the kids out there via the medium of radio.
And it's a specific album. Medium. What album was it?
It was Freak Out, but also the one after that, which is absolutely free. So kind of two for the price of one.
Oh, right. Okay, here we go.
Hi, kids. Seriously now, this is your friends, the Mothers of Invention. We're all here. I'm the only one that's going to talk, but they're all here in the studio. You can trust me. They're all hiding around in here. You can imagine them. They're all hairy and everything, hiding behind the music stands and the microphones and having merry fun. And we're here to help you. What we want to do is we want to make you buy our records. And we got a couple of hot little items for you. One of them's called Freak Out, and then our new album, which is called Absolutely Free. Listen to the Mothers of Invention in the privacy of your own home on Verve Records.
What was that bit about radio?
The radio is an ugly medium. In fact, in that source tape, you hear the DJ going, "Well, Frank, I don't know how many records you're going to sell via such an ugly medium." As he comes in after. Mm-hmm. Those radio spots were brilliant because there were so many American radio stations and there were so many, I suppose, fans and people. They'd all have been recorded on quarters. And I suppose some people who were just kind of fans of the band or the counterculture would have kept them or taken them home. And thankfully they did because we have them all of 50 plus years later, which is brilliant. So that was Zappa speaking himself.
Listen, we're going to go soon enough. We'll just maybe one or two more. Do you have, you wouldn't have 10 or 20 more that we can do it some other day, would you?
I have as many as you want.
Oh, brilliant. I love them all. Yes. Okay, give us one or two more.
This is a brilliant one. This is absolutely brilliant. Again, it's hard to think of a time before David Bowie was David Bowie and Lou Reed was Lou Reed, or Lou Reed was going to find himself as a solo artist and the two of them were going to get together. It's hard to think of a time without Perfect Day is what I'm saying, or Walk on the Wild Side. This is an ad from 1972 for the album Transformer, which is just absolutely fantastic.
The album or the ad?
Well, the album's pretty good. Yeah,
the ad's great.
The ad is arguably better than the album. It's so well written.
So this is an ad for Lou Reed's album,
this is
Transformer.
Lou Reed, and this is building the Lou Reed legend.
He's not on it, is he?
No.
All right, okay.
We're coming out of our closets, out on the streets.
In the midst of all the make-believe madness, the mock depravity, and the pseudo-sexual anarchists, Lou Reed is the real thing.
The real thing.
Lou Reed, the original. He's been one since the birth of the New York Underground, and now he's back with a new album, Transformer.
I said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side, and the colored girls say, satellite of love.
Transformer, a new album by the original, Lou Reed, produced by David Bowie on RCA Records and Tapes.
Wow. I love the old Records and Tapes.
Yeah, what a great album it is. In fact, he's got that one out at the moment. I'm going to play something from the box set thing later on from him. That's amazing. That's brilliant. Anymore?
Is that very much of its time?
Yeah,
though?
Yeah.
The make-believe depravity and the pseudo-sexual anarchist.
I know, and the guy went to the studio and then did a Dirty Harry movie ad. It's probably 5 seconds later. Yeah. It sounds just like it.
It's like Taxi Driver before Taxi Driver was made. That's what I love about that ad. Right, one last one then from the 1980s, because Dave, you would give out to me if I didn't harp on about the
1980s. Don't tell me it's Larry Gogan, is it? No.
This is the ad for Now One, voiced by one of the artists that appeared on Now One. In fact, she's on side four. I could tell you which track, but I'd bore you with it. Singing a Kirsty MacColl song. It is Tracy Ullman doing the ad for probably the compilation album that kind of changed things in the 1980s.
This is for Now One.
The first one. 1983. It would have been winter 1983.
And the
first album I ever owned.
There must be Now 100 now, is
it? It's Now 100 and something. Yeah. It's about 102 to 105.
We did a thing about that, didn't we? Yeah. Okay, anyway, so
this is Tracy Ullman extolling the virtues of pop music in 1983.
Now, that's what I call music. 30 tracks with 11 number ones. From Culture Club, Duran Duran, UB40, Kajagoo Goo, Paul Young, Phil Collins, Tina Turner, Tracy Ullman, Genesis and Madness. Get Now, a double album or cassette in record departments of Woolworth, Tesco, Martin. Now, that's what I call music.
I thought that was the bloke.
That was Gary Crowley.
Oh.
I'll just have to come back and play that one for you another day.
All right, okay,
that's
fair
the same
enough.
Album, though. Great record, right. By the way.
Okay, fair enough. All right, listen, you do have more, do you?
Oh, many.
Owen
many
Sweeney
more.
Has many more. I love all those. Fantastic. I mean, I don't know which one I'd like to listen to. The Pink Floyd.
The Pink Floyd one.
It's the best, really. If I'll give you that again. This is for Oma Gumma. Of course it's for Oma Gumma, if you know your Oma Gumma. Here it goes. Owen Sweeney, come on, thanks.
No bother.
Pink Floyd doesn't mean it's not a nice band.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.